Okay, so we are on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Once again, we had this couple weeks ago when we talked about the sugya of Harchakos, right, in Hilchos Nida. And now this week, this Daf, we're going to have a new sugya, the sugya of what's the mitoch and shavu lecho nefesh and questions of Hilchos Yontif. So every Daf, Ksuvis, still talking about the same general topic, takes us to all kinds of other interesting topics as we find our way through. So we were talking still about this question of the couple having relations the first time on Shabbos and discuss. We're going to come to a conclusion today on this daf about this question. But so again, all these back and forth discussions about the svara is the reason why it could be it's okay, it could be it's not okay. So we're now on the second line. On the daf, on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, first word in line is Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami shara lenivo b'techila b'Shabbos. Rabbi Ami was mekel. He allowed a couple to have relations the first time on Shabbos. So Amalei Rabbanon v'halo k'siva k'subasa. So the Rabbanon said, wait a second, how could that be? She didn't yet have her k'suba written for her. Presumably the assumption, our minhag is, right, when a couple gets married, so they spend 3 months ahead of time having an artist to make a beautiful ksuba, so that the last second it's usually not usable because they have to switch locations, and the date's wrong. Right? Okay, fine. Demonstrate the story. That's my rabbi part, getting it frustrated. Regardless, you prepare the ksuba ahead of time. So the assumption here is that for some reason, maybe they didn't do that. They would write the ksuba on the spot. So I guess if they got married on an Erev Shabbos or something, and they have tashra the first time on Shabbos, so the assumption is that we're even talking about married Erev Shabbos like a couple of days before. But the bottom line being, how could they do that? They haven't yet written the ksuba because you can't write the ksuba on Shabbos. So presumably they're saying that that there's a problem there. And we're going to talk at length as we get through Maseches Ksubas about the question about Isha below ksuba, that it's forbidden for husband and wife to be together if they don't have their ksuba. What happens if someone loses their ksuba? There's a ksuba to write, ksuba to yirkasa, if a person loses their ksuba. Because it's so important to make sure that a wife has her ksuba if a couple are going to be living together. So what's going on here? She doesn't have her ksuba. So amalahu at vesuha mitalta. No, what should you do in that case? You give her certain, movable property. Look at Rashi. Rashi says at vesuha mitaltale. It's like four lines down in the skinny lines in Rashi. Tanula metatla and tachas yadab and mashkon. You can give her, whatever, a necklace, give her, some other items that she can hold on to, that she can keep as a deposit. The shibur ksubasa, achi yichtu shtar ksubasa, bishibur karkos. Because eventually he'll write the ksuba. But until she can get it, so you can give her something to hold, give her your watch, whatever it is, give her something that she can hold on to. So that'll be like in place of the ksuba. Okay, so that's
not. But in general, don't you do that? You give like the shavah pruta, you give something to a woman. So why is it now he's saying give something extra?
Yes, except that with the giving the shavah pruta, giving the ring, right, that is for the purpose of the kiddushin itself. The kesef kiddushin, you give her something, and it's not in return. You're not like actually making a kid. You're not acquiring her, but it's a way that you show that you have. That's a way of creating kiddushin. That is totally separate from the question of the kesef ksuba. Two separate things. So here the point is that even though you've already given the kesef of kiddushin or whatever you may have given the star for kiddushin, but whatever you did kiddushin, now there's a separate requirement of giving her, a document that shows that you are right, that you will pay her this money if the marriage ends. So how can I do that? This star is her only proof that she's, entitled to that money. The answer is, okay, so you give her something else to hold on to until you're ready to write up that shtar.
Can you do that on Shabbos?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Right? Meaning you're saying, at v'su'a b'taltalin, give her something. Right? When? You're saying maybe give it to her on Shabbos. Maybe that'd be a problem to give it to her on Shabbos. L'chor means before Shabbos, they would give it to her, sometime ahead of time. Right, because giving it on Shabbos should be a problem of being mekabel. You can't make a kinyan on Shabbos. Correct. Okay.
Also, so you can't move it.
If it was muksa, correct, yeah. I don't know. We have a different conversation about kinyanim. If you gave her a kiddush cup, you could use on Shabbos, and it was very valuable. So I don't know, whatever. But otherwise, yes, making the kinyan. But lechari means make the kinyan before Shabbos. So we also don't even know what's the concern with the ksuba. Like, because it's Tashmish on Shabbos, like they got married, they didn't get married on Shabbos,
right?
So like where, you know, when is this going on here? So fine. So Rav Zvid shor lemiva b'tchila b'Shabbos. Okay, Rav Zvid also allowed Tashmish for the first time on Shabbos. Some say Rav Zvid gufei b'ol b'tchila b'Shabbos. Others say no, he didn't allow it. He did himself did it. Rav Yehuda shor lemiva b'tchila b'yomtiv. Rav Yehuda allowed Tashmish for the first time on Yontif. So Amr of Papa Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Papa said, Nim Rava, don't be so fancy here. We said Shabbos, now you're saying Yontif. Lo tema be Yontif de Shari ha be Shabbos aser. Dehua de nafila be Shabbos na mishari. Like, the fact that he said it, I mean, the fact that he allowed it on Yontif, don't start making the yukim. Oh, it must be because he allowed it on Shabbos, on Yontif, it must be Yontif and not Shabbos. No, allowed it on Yontif, but Yontif and Shabbos is the same. That just happened to be the case, right? It's always very important. The Gemara will point that out. Like, yeah, the case was this, but that doesn't mean that it's only allowed in that case. It's just that's how the story played out, and that's why it was allowed specifically on Yontif. But he would agree it would be allowed even on Shabbos. Rav Papa Mishmei Rava Amar no. Rav Papa Mishmei Rava says no. Be Yontif Shari be Shabbos Aser. No, that there was that this allowing on Yontif was not because that was the case. That might have been the case. But that's not what was going on here. The psak was that he allowed be a betchila on Yontif and not on Shabbos. Okay, so the question is going to be, of course, is why? What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif when it comes to this question? So Amalei Rav Papa, the Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, back to Rav Papa. Says, get to Hilchos Yontif. Here we go, right? Maseches Ksubos will give you everything in just a few daf, right? Amalei Rav Papa, the Rav Papa, my daitich. What are you going to tell me? He says, what's going to be your svara? Mitoch shehutra chabur letzorech, hutra nami shalol letzorech. Oh, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me the concept of mitoch. What is the concept of mitoch? The concept is as follows: that even though we have typically, or not even though, that we typically have a rule, right? That when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, all of the same yisurim apply. Same melechas Yontif, melechas Shabbos are basically the same, the exception of ochal nefesh, right? Acha sheyachal ochal nefesh. Right, only that which is except with the exception of what's needed for ochal nefesh. So the Gemara here brings up this concept though that there's not just the concept of ochal nefesh, but there's also a concept of mitoch. What does it mean? That when the Torah allowed, for example, cooking on yontif for ochal nefesh, so they allowed also there is an extension here, and the extension is that just like someone's allowed to do melachos for ochal nefesh, they're also allowed to do that same melacha for other tzrachim, right? For something else, for non ochal nefesh, not, you know, mitoch shehutra l'tzorech, hutra nami shalol l'tzorech. You allow it, yes, exactly. So when it comes to you're allowed to heat up water to make a soup, you can also heat up water to wash your hands and your face, right? For example, right? So he says, what did you tell me as the din of mitoch, and what would be how do you apply mitoch in this case? So my daytech mitoch shehutcha chabura letzorech, allowed to cause something to bleed letzorech ochal nefesh. What would that mean?
Shechita.
Right, I can shecht an animal and prepare it to take out a chicken in the backyard, shecht it, prepare for yontif. Right. So maybe you could say, since I'm allowed chabura letzorech, hutchinam shelo letzorech, meaning I could allow a chabura in this case the tashrish bechila b'shabbos. On Yontif, also it's not tzarach ochal nefesh, right? But it's maybe that should be okay. So if that's true, so Rav Papa said, I know where you're headed here. You want to tell me mitoch, but elamei alta. If that would be true, right, elamei alta always introduces if you're going to say such a thing, I'll tell you why you're wrong. Because here's the extension that would be ridiculous, right? That would take us to. So elamei alta. If that would be true, right? From here, you might conclude mutol lasos mugmor beYontif. And maybe I can do mugmar. What's mugmar? Mugmar was some type of like scenting that they would do. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, first of all, Rashi says, "My daytech the mishu beyantiv yoser mi b'shabbos." Right? Why would you allow things more yantiv than on Shabbos? Because you allow chabur letzorech ochal nefesh kagon shchita. Right. So what about then? You're going to tell me I can do mugmar. What's mugmar? B'samim al ha'ish ligamer es akelim v'esavagadim. They would scent, you know, items. They, you know, things smelled. In time of the Gemara, our time also, but probably more then, right? And they would take smelling, you know, these like scented candles and scented besom and whatever, and they'd have to light them on fire, right, in order to get them to work, to get the incense to work. So you're gonna tell me that just like, right? So now let's go back to the Gemara. Just like I can light a fire, I can extend a fire, right? I can take a fire from my flame on my stovetop, and I can light Shabbos yontif candles, or I can take I can take from the yahrzeit candle to turn on my to extend it to light a flame to cook with. So I should be allowed to also light a flame to do mugmar, to do incense on yontif, and that obviously, assumes for puppy, is ridiculous. That we're never going to allow, right? Okay. So Amalei. So he says back to him, Alecha Amakra Ach Asheyach Alechol Nefesh Davar Hashaveh Lechol Nefesh. No. The Rebbe says, I'll tell you why mugmar is not permitted, and other cases of mitoch typically are permitted. What's the difference? The pasuk says Ach Asheyach Al Yachel Lechol Nefesh, which is a totally superfluous phrase. Lechol Nefesh. Right? Any nefesh can eat it. Why? What kind of language is that? That which can be achashe yachel, that which is eaten. Right? This is the pasuk that gives you the heter of ochol nefesh and yantif. Just say anything that can be eaten. Hu levado yaseh lechem. Why is it yachel lechol nefesh? It comes to teach me that the items or the activities that are permissible on yantif because of this heter of ochol nefesh is only true when it is shavel lechol nefesh. Right? Look at Rashi. Alecha amakra lechol nefesh davar shavel lechol nefesh mutter. Right? That which is anyone would, and this is a big discussion in Rishonim. Anyone would want to partake in, everyone does partake in all the time, everyone partakes in every single day. Right? What do you mean, shavu l'chol nefesh? But it means certainly something that everybody would use, right? And sounds like mugmar is the type of thing that only certain people, right? I had a friend in college who would light mugmar in his apartment, you know? He would light incense. That was like unique. Most people didn't light incense in their apartment. It's something unique that he did, right? So this is clearly not something that everybody did. So if it was something that only some people do, yeah, that's why you're saying everyone knows mugmar is not okay. You're right, mugmar is not okay. Fine, but that's not something that everyone does. But the assumption being, the continuing Rashi, right? But tashmish, the husband and wife, that's a normal thing for everyone to do, right? But lighting incense, that's for, you know, finicky people who are very careful about the other smells bother them. But everybody, right, most people, husband and wife, they have tashmish with each other. That's normal. So that's what I can tell you. So what's the answer? The answer is yes. You're right. I am saying mitoch. And the only reason I'm going to allow be'ila b'tchila on yantif and not on Shabbos is because now the chabur is mutter. Why? Because of mitoch. Because that's something it's not only is it something that's otherwise permitted for ochol nefesh, it's also something that is shava l'chol nefesh. It's something that every person would, normal people, most typical people, take part in this activity all the time. Okay, so amle rav achal b'rei the ravashi elameyata, but they say, fine, that's true though, but wait a second. Nizdamin lo tzvi b'yamtif, ho v'eino shava l'chol nefesh, hachanamin do asu l'mishchatei. Okay, so anytime it's the only thing that everyone uses, we know that deer, venison, is very expensive. Most people don't have deer, right? So if a person has a deer shows up at his doorstep, is he not allowed to shecht it on, not allowed to shecht it on yontif? The assumption being that that's ridiculous. Why should he not be allowed to shecht a deer? So meaning even though it's not, most people don't have deer. So amalei ana davar had tzarech l'chol nefesh kamina. Tzvi tzarech l'chol nefesh. No, so this is the distinction. A tzvi, you're right, most people don't have deer, but not because they wouldn't, just because it's hard to get, right? You have to catch a deer, you can't hunt a deer, they run away. It's fat, it's very fast. So it's hard to get. But the truth is, anybody who would get it would eat it. Okay, not a vegetarian. But any most people would eat it. So it is a double tzarech l'chol nefesh. It's just not something that most people have the opportunity to get. But if they could, they definitely would. Fine. So this kind of concludes this conversation. So Amar B'Yakob Bar-Idi, Hor Rabbi Yochanan B'Tzaidan. Oh, sorry, yeah, fine. So that ends this, and the bottom line is, he would say, yes, you're right, that it'd be mutter livo b'tchila b'yantif specifically because of this din of davar tzarech l'chol nefesh. That's what all conversations about ochol nefesh and mitoch surround these two points. One is it something that's already mutter for ochol nefesh, and it's something that everybody does. So in the 1920s, someone would say smoking on yantif. The answer was, of course, everybody smokes on yantif because it's healthy. Right? And if anyone who could get their hands on a cigarette would, because it's a healthy thing to do. Right now, in 2022, it's usher to smoke, so forget it, smoking on yontif. But again, in the times of the Gemara, showering, was not something someone did all the time, right? But today, everybody does. That's why many, many poskim allow a person to shower in Yom Tov, because again, you can heat the water for Shabbos, for Ochon Avich, you can heat it also for washing your body. Some poskim are still machmir today, but that's what this whole conversation revolves around. It's all about based on this sugya. Fine. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Hor Rabbi Yochanan. Yaakov Idi says that Rabbi Yochanan taught, B'tzaydan asr levo b'tchil b'shabbos. He taught in Sidon that it is forbidden to do bi'ilah on the first time on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Hora'ah? It's a great Gemara. It's an amazing concept. U'mi'ika hora'ah le'isr. What do you mean that hora'ah is an isr? Look at Rashi. When you see the word hora'ah, how's hora'ah is a teaching, right? Look at Rashi. U'mi'ika hora'ah le'isr. Look at Rashi. U'mi'kari isr hora'ah? U'mishim the kol. Why not? You can teach them that's asr. No. U'mishim the kol adam rashai la'achmer. It's amazing. Any person can be machmer. Right? Ve'aoser, ain't this smichas devarim? Someone says it's aser. It's not some fancy shtickle Torah that you know how to say, make something aser. Shafilu mina safik. Sheina halacha brulo. Hu ba ve'aoser. Someone doesn't know the halacha. Okay, it's be machmir. Right? That's easy. Aval hamatir, to say something's permissible, somech al shmuaso or al svaras chachmaso vihi hara. Right? To give a heter, right? That's godless. A heter requires real knowledge. Right, to be machmir, to say something is usher, that any Jewish mo can be machmir. That's not a big chiddush, right? So we don't call something hora if it's an isser, because that's not some big chiddush. So the Gemara says no, but nevertheless, sometimes we call hora isser. Why? V'hatanam, we have a mission that says horu best beis hilo shatei nazira od sheva shanim acheros. There's a story about a person, a queen, who had to Hilni Amalka, who became a nazir, and they said she has to be a nazir for another 7 years. Vinami, and they call it Hora. Vinami ki ha desani chut hashidra shenifzak berubo divi Rebbe Rabbi Yaakov Omer afilu nikev ho Rebbe ker Rebbe Yaakov. So the bottom line is, in that case, get a question of someone becoming a treifa if they had a hole in their spinal cord. Does that make the animal, the individual, considered like a treifa? And again, they gave the Hora of a chumra, and they gave the language was Hora. So the answer is yes. There is such a concept of using the language of Hora when it comes to Isurim, to being Machmir. So we'll stop here and we will pick up on Thursday. Okay, good.